This is The Journey, a series of interviews by Kathy Wargle with members of St. Joseph Catholic Community who each speak about their faith journey. WSJF will air a new conversation each week. Here's the host of The Journey, Kathy Wargle.
This is Kathy Wargle here with our guest today, Linda Grassley, and I'm excited to talk with her about her travels. You've had some travels. Yeah. You started way up there in New York State, which is a favorite of mine, and I understand that you didn't start out Catholic. You started out in a different area. You want to talk about that start for a little bit?
Sure, yeah. I was raised as an Episcopalian, which maybe some people don't think it's the same. It's certainly not the same, but the tradition is there. Mm-hmm. I went through sacraments. I had my baptism and First Communion, which was one of my favorite things, and I was confirmed. The Mass is very similar. You might not notice the difference at all. But, of course, a lot has changed in the Episcopal Church.
Yeah.
And, so I was in the Episcopal Church through my growing up time with my parents and tried to make it to church once I got to college, but that was really difficult. The church was very far away. And I went to a two-year school, which is where I met my husband.
Oh, he's that great guy you wrote about.
And then when I transferred for my four-year degree, I was roomed with a number of Catholic girls. And as a younger kid, I was always very envious of the Catholic girls because they got to go to catechism. You know,
that's catechism. Not what most people are envious about. That just really struck me. It's like, what was so appealing? What was grabbing your attention?
A whole bunch of them. I think like the biggest church in our little tiny town of 3,500 was the Catholic Church. And so everybody got to go.
Oh, it's where it was happening.
It was happening. Yeah, you know, okay. In my eyes, of course, I never got to participate. And we had our formation during the Mass. We all went down. The kids went downstairs during the Mass.
Okay.
So it was different. They got something a little extra. So by the time I got to college and met some very devout young ladies, they would go to the Newman Center for Mass every week, and I would, you know, kind of follow along. Not every week, but a lot, and realized it was very similar. But I always looked up to them because their faith in their family was very strong. And while I always felt that I was a Christian, I just longed to have what they had,
You know, that's something that's really appealing. And I think that's what a lot of us need to remember, is that people watch people to see what they have, what they're like. I remember feeling that way.
Right.
My sister's girlfriend came home from college and she was different. And I was like, I want that.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. How would you describe what they had? Do you have
just
words?
So, it was just so natural for them. And I mean, I grew up with, my parents were and are the best. And modeled Christian life. Their marriage was solid. My dad always said, you know, I made a vow to your mom, I didn't to you. So I knew that marriage was solid because he had made a vow to her in front of God.
That's so special.
Yeah, he always had his Bible. I don't know how many times, but he's read it cover to cover several times. And he, you know, even if we would camp a lot, he would always have a little service, you know, if we didn't have a church around.
Oh, this is wonderful.
So it wasn't like I didn't grow up in the faith.
No, but they weren't your peers.
Yes.
So with your peers, you saw what?
I just saw this mature, almost a mature relationship with their church, their faith, each other, and Christ, I guess. And what, in particular, my roommate, her family, they did the rosary every day at their parents' bedside at 3 o'clock every day. She does that today still.
Wow.
Always. Things like that. Like, I never did that.
Yeah, really.
You know? But to me, like, that's commitment in your faith. And I never saw that until my junior year of college. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of it made me want to do that.
So their maturity really was their integration, probably. Is that what you're thinking? Integrated their faith with their life, and you know, things, you know, were not compartmentalized.
Right.
Because I feel a lot of people now are so compartmentalized in how they do things, that churches here, work, relationships, and they're all separate. But
right.
No wonder that was so attractive.
Yeah, it was. And it took me a long time. I never felt like, you know, outside of my faith, which should always be part of your entire life.
Sure.
But I had separate things, and I wasn't great at school, but my brother and sister, who are younger, were very good at school. They did well in college. I made it through college.
Yeah, woo-woo! So.
But when I finally kind of broke out of college, which I didn't do well, but I made it, got my degree, I was just on this at least a decade journey of proving myself that I could do this. I could be the career person. And I dabble in my faith. My mom gave me an NIV Bible, study Bible, that to this day, I have tried all sorts of Bibles, but this one is folded and marked and written in. And
you
just
like that the best.
Well-worn. I love it. Maps, and it has a concordance. So, you know.
Right, you heard it here. Commercial. Good.
For a concordance. And we didn't really grow up with a Bible other than my dad, you know, reading
yeah.
it. Much like Catholics, it wasn't like something we read all the time. But I just learned what I didn't know about the Bible. I could go to the back, it's like an index, mm-hmm. and find what was bothering me at that time. Like maybe I was just feeling shameful. I could look up shame or self-esteem or confidence or trust in God.
Yeah.
It's always
the big
there.
Ones.
Yes. So I would, you know, that's really how I got to kind of grow and learned that he was always there for me. Christ mm-hmm. was always there for me.
Mm-hmm.
And when Al and I got married, we ended up getting married in the Episcopal Church. We just never found a church that felt comfortable. So, mm-hmm. I don't know, that's just what we did.
Well, it was hard for two people to agree on every single thing.
Right.
You know, and churches like that might be hard to find, but.
Right. Well, and his whole Catholic family came. I was surprised. I thought maybe some of them wouldn't. Some of them actually came forward for communion because the priest just said, this is our celebration. It's a special
right.
time. Don't feel uncomfortable. But it took not long. Within a year or two, we decided that we needed like our own church. And we found mm-hmm. one right in the town that we happened to move into.
Mm-hmm.
Very welcoming, very open to help me through our CIA. The pastoral administrator that was there she understood that I knew the tradition and I knew the sacrament. So she just did it one-on-one with me.
Wow.
And it was beautiful.
Oh, my.
It was really very nice.
What a start. That's yeah. wonderful.
Yeah.
So how long before kids came along and that whole part of a journey? Because I know a lot of people's journey changes a little bit more when kids come.
Right.
So did that happen for you?
Well, it was kind of the intention that we wanted to be on the same page in the same church when we had our children.
Mm-hmm.
So we found our church, and I was confirmed again, but as a Catholic. And we struggled to have children.
Mm.
6 years before we were conceived with Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
And then during that time, I left my job so I could have a child. Al got laid off.
Oh, boy.
His mother passed away of cancer. My mom had a heart attack.
Mm.
His father had a heart attack.
Oh, my goodness.
And no matter what happened, it just seemed like there was someone or something there for us. You know, we prayed together. We were very involved in our church. A lot of people just surrounded us. Things would show up that we never expected.
Wow.
Like we would get a gift card for a grocery store in the mail. Or we got an escrow refund because they calculated something wrong, hundreds of dollars.
Mm.
We got, I had left my work and there was a pool of money that a group was allowed to divide up and give awards to people. I was out of my job for 3 months, and they chose to give me a $3,000 reward.
Wow.
I mean, just all of these, to me, miracles. People who I had met and just, I don't know. I can only say that God was there through these people.
Yeah. You were connected. I mean, I think that's part of what we say when we talk about community, is getting connected.
Right.
And when these kinds of things happen in life, like they inevitably do,
right,
you can experience that sense of, what is it, hope and mercy and grace and
right.
everything else.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds like a really rough time.
Yeah.
So, you know, your own journey sounds like a lot of people's, where, you know, when the tough times come, you can go one of two ways, though. You can either doubt and fall away, or you can feel even more grateful. I'm seeing that you went the more grateful side.
More grateful, yeah.
So how did the journey with children then move forward? Was that something that was easy, hard? Did you bring them up the same way that that your parents brought you up, or were there differences?
I think I did. I think my parents showed us a lot of God's creation. They love outdoors, so anything we touched, God was there in it. But it's kind of funny when you said that. It just made me think of my mom, I can't remember which is which, but one parent was Presbyterian and the other was Episcopalian. And but she bought my daughter one of those wooden rosaries.
Aww.
And a book about the Mass. So she helped.
She was involved.
Yeah,
she
even though
supportive.
She's still Episcopalian, but always supportive. I remember making that call to say, I'm going to convert, because we lived a little ways away. And I'm like, well, how are they going to take this, you know? But they were very accepting. They understood, you know, it is important that you're in the same church, that your mm-hmm. kids are mm-hmm. Learning their faith through both parents. And it just makes it a lot easier. Not that it can't be done otherwise, but so they were very, very supportive. So, yeah, I guess I feel like we did it kind of the same. We did homeschool. So my daughter went to public school up until fifth grade, and then we were in an ecumenical homeschool, and Matthew did the same, and then he went to St. John, and now he's going to Century. So both of my kids have a foundation of faith, both at home and in their schooling.
And that's the important thing. And so then we move on to St. Joseph. How did you get here?
How did we get here? Well, because I left my job and he lost his job, he was looking everywhere. Somebody gave him a job at Kodak temporarily, because he had been there before, and they were worried about him, which is wonderful. So he did have some income, but it wasn't going to be a permanent thing. So we looked at Boise, Idaho. I don't know how you get to Idaho.
Right? It's like, Idaho.
It's beautiful. It would have been cool, but it was, you know, it's very hard to get to and get home. San Diego sounds nice too, same kind of thing. And Maryland is where we found the job. So we came here because we could drive home.
Wow.
Yeah.
Up until that point, you were in New York?
We were in, yeah.
Still Rochester, in New York? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So and you really did cast your nets far and wide.
Yeah, there was nothing there. It was right after 9/11.
Wow.
And New York, the economy everywhere was rough, but
sure.
New York really took a hit. So, we moved down here. Now, I grew up in a little Episcopal church with about 30 families. And then we went to this church in Western New York, about 250 families. But the Mass we went to were only about 80 families. And then we came here.
Whoa, blown away.
There were thousands and thousands of people. And I had no problem moving here. Like, to me, home was us, our family.
Right.
Al really felt guilty bringing us down here. But I cried every week coming here. Did not feel that sense of belonging. And it took a few years. Tom Gruhl, in all his knight's regalia, was in the the lobby, the narthex, and asked Al to join the Knights, and he did. And that's where this huge church really got pared down for me, and I felt this sense of belonging.
Now, even though it was his involvement with the Knights, how did that bring you together?
The Knights, they're just a wonderful group of people. Many of them are older. At that time, there were more families involved, but there's just such a sense of community and fellowship and kindness, really looking out for each other and others in the community, a lot of charity work they do. And they also had the Rosary group that's still going on.
Right.
So we had done that. That's where my kids and I finally learned how
the Rosary
went perfectly. Almost. But we just went this week. So it just feels like a family, a little bit smaller.
And so what's important in getting a sense of community is that you stick with it and you get involved, you make choices to join in spite of what, fear, loneliness, expectations or whatever.
Right.
But you just have to sort of make that first step.
Right. I remember Father Pat Tonry once in a homily saying, if you're not feeling it, just keep coming.
Yeah.
Because it's going to happen. Don't give up.
I love that.
And so that kind of shifted my mentality. It's like, it might not be super great right now, but I still want to be here. And I still want to praise God and please Him. Something will come. He'll tell me. He'll guide me. Just got to wait it out.
And that really is the main point, is your relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Your connection to God. The community obviously is important in communicating the Lord to you. But, when all else fails, you stick with communicating and committed to God.
Right.
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 And then you work for the rest. That sounds wonderful. Now, you're a radio star, I hear.
We think we have about 10 listeners now, maybe.
I want to hear about this radio. I think that is super cool. How did that all get started?
It all kind of started when, within a 4-month span, 4 or 5 couples that we were close with, we had no idea their marriages split up.
Wow.
And we were devastated. We just kind of looked at each other like, are we okay? if they couldn't make it work, So we got a little more intentional about our marriage, and the radio station was coming up at the time. So Al thought it would be a great idea to go talk to Danny and see if we could do this radio show. He and I both listen to a lot of podcasts, and we share a lot, mostly faith-based ones for family, raising your family, parenting, and marriage and stuff.
So my father would say, you are already radioactive.
Oh, gosh, that's good. That's good. I love it. So, he came home and said, hey, Danny said we can do a radio show. I'm like, I don't want to do a radio show. But we just thought it would be a really neat way to just tell people, you're not alone. Life is hard. Life is messy. Marriage is hard. You got to work at it. Having kids is hard.
Yep.
Keeping your faith is hard. And we need to be beside each other,
Mm-hmm.
And like you were saying, it's about the relationship with God. But sometimes, and I'm still up and down with my faith, I need that nudge from somebody to say, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
We can get through this.
You're not crazy, alone, weird, bad, awful.
Right.
What does that mean? Terrible, horrible, and ugly. What was that
right,
book about that
book.
Somewhere?
Yeah, I never liked that book.
No, it wasn't real fun.
It was horrible.
So we'll forget that book. You're not any of those things. And you do need that encouragement.
Right.
And I think that's really what you're providing for people.
I hope so. I hope so. We don't hear from people a lot, but I really hope so. Once we do, we don't get messages. We'll see people, after Mass or on the street.
Right.
We'll say, oh, that was funny when, we tease each other.
So you're saying it helped your marriage too?
Yeah, it gets us talking.
Yeah.
These podcasts helped us really talk. But we don't write a script. We do a bullet form kind of thing. But it has to make us think about different issues within a marriage.
Yeah. Well, I have to say that in ministry in the past with my husband, have always felt that challenge. And when you work together on anything, you know, whether it's the kids or anything,
right,
you have to communicate. And that's mm-hmm. really, I'm sure, a big part of what you teach. Well, if you were to have a radio show where you were talking to people who you knew had no church background at all, what kinds of things would you tell them? What would you do to try to hook them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Al and I were just talking about this because we have a couple of families that we adore. One's kind of fallen away from the church, and the other, I don't know if they have been in the past, but as long as we've known them, we haven't been in the church. And they have teen kids. And I just think, you know, before your kids go away, they need a foundation.
Mm.
And they're wonderful families, and their kids are terrific. They're always giving back. And but this element, like when your kids leave, then what? You know, what are they going to lean on? That's what I would, you know, just say. I had a friend when I was converting to Catholicism said some awful things about the Catholic Church. I'm like, I'm sorry if you had a bad experience with it, but where's your faith now? Because he was just all but angry. That's all he could say about faith. And I thought, I've never experienced that, but I have experienced times where I've been away from the church and always had that longing, like, who cares for me, or I'm not good enough. But going back to the Bible, I am good enough. You know, so always, I just always want my children to know that if you're down, pick up your Bible, pray, write to God. You know, that's so important for a young person, because going through their teen years into college, young adult, starting career, I think that's the hardest time of your life. There's so many changes you're going through, and you kind of need that foundation. So.
That's a wonderful message for anyone to think about their children and having a foundation for them, and then to reflect back on how am I working on and continuing to keep my foundation strong.
Right.
And that kind of connection is just important. I mean, we're talking about relationships here. We want our children to have a relationship with us, but with God, and the same thing with ourselves.
Right.
And with relationships, you have to talk to each other, right?
Right, yeah.
So, you know, that I guess is what I guess prayer is all about, and sometimes it gets confusing, or it gets over, religiosized?
Yeah.
If that's a word. So where people think prayer, but it's just talking.
Right.
However you feel, whatever's going on, just talk, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I could talk to you forever.
Yeah, you
so
too.
Let's do this again.
Okay.
And we'll shut the camera off. Okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
So thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Kathy. It was fun.
And that's our journey for today. Stay tuned for the next one.
You've been listening to The Journey with our host, Kathy Wargle. WSJF will air a new conversation with Kathy each week. Please continue to listen for new interviews on The Journey from St. Joseph Catholic Community.